Well, hello again. It's good to be here. It's good to see everybody. We trust it'll be a blessing to us as we consider the Word. As Alec mentioned, our subject is, I think I'll call her Deborah. What I'd like to emphasize is the influence of a woman of faith and courage. The influence of a woman of faith and courage. I think she's only mentioned in Judges chapter 4 and 5, so we'll read a few verses from these chapters. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. Judges 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had, that is Sisera, had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honour, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. That was another woman called Jael. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Verse 14, And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. And the rest tells us about how Sisera was slain. Verse 23, So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Chapter 5 gives us Deborah's song. The whole chapter is the song of Deborah. I'll read a few verses there. Then sang Deborah and Barak the son of Abinoam on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of hosts. Verse 4, The Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Verse 7, The inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, that I arose a mother in Israel. And the last verse, verse 31, So let all the enemies perish, let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Chapter 4 tells us that when Ahu, that was the second judge, when he died, Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. It seemed to be a very common thing throughout the book of Judges that Israel drifted back again and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And once again, Israel had forsaken the Lord and followed the gods of the Canaanites. The result was servitude and weakness, and they were cruelly oppressed by the Canaanites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord. Every time they cried to the Lord came to their help. And this time, the Lord gave them not a man, but he gave them a woman. He gave them Deborah. We are told she was married. We are told she was a prophetess. We are told she judged Israel. The only female judge throughout the book of Judges. But through her influence and through her courage, she was able to persuade Barak. I take it that Barak was the leader of the army of Israel in that particular region. And she was able to persuade him to go out and fight against the Canaanites. The Canaanites had a far greater army, and they were far better equipped than the Israelites were. And interestingly, Barak agreed. Barak agreed to go with this condition that Deborah went with him. She agreed, and she accompanied him into the battle. And that day, there was a great victory for Israel. Sisera was actually slain, the leader of the Canaanites. He was actually slain, not at the hand of Barak, but at the hand of another woman, as we read, called Jael. And the interesting thing for us is, what was it that brought about the victory? What was it that brought about the victory? Well, what is interesting is that there was no major battle engagement between the Israelite and the Canaanite. It was actually the weather. It was the weather. Heavy rain, we're told this in chapter 4 and a little bit in chapter 5, heavy rain bogged down the great chariots of Sisera. And the resulting swollen river Kishon swept Sisera's army away as they were pursued by Barak. It was the weather that was the victory. The weather was the cause of the victory. Now that's interesting. I found that interesting. It's an example, I take it, of the Lord's hand. There have been many, many times through the course of history, even in modern times, when the weather has actually influenced the result of great war. It actually happened in the Second World War as well. And I think that reminds us that God is still in the throne, and he will remember his own. A very, very interesting victory. So, what do we learn? What do we learn about Deborah in all of this? Well, I had noted down four things that I thought was outstanding about this woman. First of all, Deborah, we're told in her song, was a mother in Israel. She was a mother. A very unusual title, and I think it's only used once again throughout the whole of the Bible. Deborah was a mother in Israel. That seems to indicate that Deborah had care and concern for the people amongst whom she worked. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says this, that the children of Israel, they came up to her for judgment, for counsel, for help. Whenever they needed some help, they would come to Deborah. She was concerned not only for the physical lives of the people and for the political welfare of the people, but she was also concerned for the spiritual welfare of the people amongst whom she worked. She was a mother in Israel. It's quite interesting that we learn this from Deborah's song. And it was Deborah herself who said that she was a mother in Israel. And I thought, you know, that there was a great deal of humility about that. You know, Deborah could have said, when Israel was at the low ebb, I was the prophetess. Or when Israel was at a low ebb, I was the judge in Israel. But that's not what she said. She said this, in time of great need, in time of great need, I arose a mother in Israel. Chapter 5 tells us that. Nobody cares more for and has greater concern for her children than a mother. And Deborah was a mother in Israel. Deborah had great care and concern for her people. I thought I would say a little bit about an important subject, about motherhood. Motherhood. I often think we undervalue and we underestimate the influence and the responsibility of a mother. There were a great many good mothers in the Bible, and no doubt you'll hear about some of them, maybe you've covered some of them already. Thinking about Ruth, for example, who was influenced a great deal by a mother, a good mother. Her name was Naomi. And we have Hannah. I think you'll be dealing with Hannah next week. And Hannah was a praying mother, influenced Samuel a great deal. Timothy was influenced by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Apparently, Charles Wesley once said, I learned more Christianity from my mother than I did from all the theologians in England. I learned more Christianity from my mother than I did from all the theologians in England. Somebody has said that motherhood is the greatest and the most challenging and the most rewarding of all careers. The book of Proverbs, that they say, is quite a lot about motherhood. A mother always gives sound advice. One of the verses in Proverbs says this, a mother talking to her son, she says, my son, forsake not the counsel of thy mother. Bind them continually in your heart and tie them about your neck. Don't merely listen to what your mother says, in other words, but actually put it into practice. Show, demonstrate the things that your mother says. And I think all of us, every one of us, can think of things we learn from our mothers. Things about Christianity, things about the Lord, things about living, proper living. It was very, very good advice. And it is important that we follow. Good for young people, but good for those of us who are older to look back on the benefit, the great things we learn from our mother. The last chapter of Proverbs 31, tells us about two mothers. It tells us about King Lemuel's mother. And King Lemuel gave, King Lemuel's mother gave to King Lemuel some very good advice. You know, we don't know who King Lemuel was. He's only mentioned, I think, that once. But what is important, not King Lemuel, but what is important is his mother and the advice that his mother gave him. I won't go over all the details, but one of the things he said, now, when you're in a place of authority, remember the people who are under you, remember the poor. Good advice from a mother to a king. And then the other mother that's mentioned in Proverbs 31 is the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above. A mother, she was a hard-working mother. She did a lot of work, that woman. And what she did ordinary things in an extraordinary way. A mother. And Deborah was a mother in Israel. She had a care and she had a concern for the people. And that's the first thing I learned about Deborah, a mother in Israel. Second thing I learned was this, that Deborah was a very wise woman. She was a very wise woman. Deborah had the confidence of the people amongst whom she worked. And she acted very, very wisely. You know, when a person knows that you care for them, that person will listen. And that person can be influenced. If a person knows that you have a care for them, that person will listen to what you've got to say, and that person can be influenced. Barak, who was the leader of the army, Barak listened to the message of Deborah. He had confidence in her, and he would only go out to face the Canaanites if she was going to accompany them. You know, I was just thinking of this. I said to myself, look, Barak could have said, look, Deborah, I'm the captain of the host of Israel here. I'm the captain. Don't you tell me what to do. Don't you? But Barak listened. Barak listened to what Deborah said. And he said, I'm willing to do it. I am willing to do it, provided that you go with me. And from Deborah's song, we also learned something else. We learned the influence that Deborah had over the nobles and the princes of Israel. Because one of the things that she spoke to them, and they went out and they tried to involve others to come and help the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, who are taking the responsibility of the battle in this particular case. Another example of where Deborah had the people had confidence in what Deborah said. I thought it was an important lesson in that, a very important lesson, and that is to lead people, which is really what Deborah did here. The people must have confidence and trust in the leader to lead people. The people must have confidence and trust in the leader. And Deborah did something else, another wise thing she did. She involved others in the work, and she did not take the glory all to herself. That is very, very obvious from her song in chapter 5. It's the Lord's work, and she gave all the glory to the Lord. One of the things that come through from chapter 5 is she gave to the Lord the glory for what happened that particular day. Deborah was a very, very wise woman. A third thing that I learned about Deborah, she was a woman of great courage. She was a woman of great courage. The person who should have gone out that day to fight the Canaanites was Barak. And Barak was a man of faith. I think that's why Barak actually accepted what Deborah said. He was a man of faith. It's interesting that in the epistle to the Hebrews, when the men of faith are accounted, Barak is one of them. Barak is mentioned in the epistle to the Hebrews. And he was a man of faith. But he lacked one thing. He lacked courage. He lacked courage. And that's why he said to Deborah, he says, I will go if you come with me. See, Barak was not prepared to go out into the battlefield on his own. He needed Deborah, a woman of courage. There are, in our Bible, many women of courage. I thought about Esther, and I think they're probably going to cover Esther later on as well. So that will be interesting. Another woman of courage was Esther. As far as we know, there was only one disciple that stood by the cross of Jesus. Only one. But John says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. They didn't speak. They didn't all hold up banners objecting to what was happening. They didn't object to what was happening. It's a blessing they didn't. But they stood there silently and devotedly and courageously. It must have been talking almost from a human level. It must have been a great, great comfort to the Lord Jesus on the cross to see those four great women standing by the cross. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, courageous woman. A verse in the Psalm 27, it says this: wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Another verse in the Hebrews says this: we say with confidence, we say with great courage, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid what man shall do to me. And Deborah was a person who was not afraid of man, because she knew that the Lord was her helper. Deborah was a woman of great courage. The fourth thing that I learned about Deborah was this, and perhaps the greatest thing of all, was that she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman who was in touch with the God of Israel at a time when so few people were. And she acknowledged him, she acknowledged the Lord in everything she did and in everything that she said. Nearly every time that we listen to what Deborah said, she made mention of the Lord. And I have noted one or two examples. Chapter 4, verse 6. This is what she said to Barak: hath not the Lord, God of Israel, commanded, saying, go and draw near to Mount Tabor, take 10,000 men, and I will deliver Sisera into thy hand. She knew well that Israel did not have a good army. She knew well that Israel did not have a well-equipped army. But this is what she knew: God promised victory, and Deborah believed God. She believed the God of Israel. She was a woman of faith, a great woman of faith. Chapter 4, verse 14 says this: when it came to the scene of the battle, Deborah said to Barak, she said, up, she said, up. For this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Up, this is the day that the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. And then she said later on, is not the Lord gone before us? She was conscious that the Lord was in all of this all the time. And that was the reason why she had so great courage, and it demonstrates the strength of the faith of this great woman. Chapter 5 is an interesting chapter. Some bits of it I found quite difficult to understand, but there are a lot of very, very interesting things. It's a song, the song of Deborah and of Barak as well, a song that they sang after the victory. And the song shows, it demonstrates that the spiritual character of this woman. She knew that the God of Israel was a covenant-keeping God. She knew that. It comes through in these words that she said, she sang. And she knew that God would keep his promise and God would intervene on behalf of his people. There was no doubt in her mind about that. She knew that. She was confident in her God. The song starts off with praise, full of praise to the Lord. After the victory, they sang this great song of praise. Verses 2 and 3, I will sing unto the Lord, I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. It was a happy occasion for them. They had been delivered out of the hands of their terrible enemy. Verse 3, she said, and she invited others around, she invited the kings of the surrounding nation to take heed of the greatness of her God. The greatness of her God was something that she appreciated very much. And throughout the song, she acknowledged, we've said this before, and this is important, she acknowledged that the victory was the Lord's. It wasn't hers, it wasn't Barak's, it wasn't the nation's. The victory was the Lord's. Verse 9, she blessed the Lord for the willing response of the tribes. She'd obviously gone around and trying to involve the nobles of Israel to help, and some responded, some of the tribes responded, said, but others didn't respond. And she said this about them, they came not to help us, they came not to help the Lord. Verse 23, they came not to help the Lord against the Almighty. It was the Lord's battle, you see, and she was conscious of that, and she knew that, and she criticized them because they came not to help the Lord against the battle. She mentions verse 11 that the Lord, the righteous acts of the Lord toward those who had been persecuted in the villages. Obviously, they'd been under a great deal of persecution, but now God is acting righteously. And the song demonstrates, and we've emphasized this a number of times, the song demonstrates that Deborah's main concern was for the glory of God, for the glory of the Lord. She knew him well, and her main concern was that. She was a woman who was in touch with the God of Israel, and she acknowledged him in everything she said and in everything she did. She gave the Lord the glory for the victory. She was a woman of virtue. Like the woman of Proverbs 31, she was a woman of value. I found the last part of Deborah's song difficult. I find it difficult to explain. I'll give you my thoughts about it. Maybe disagree. These verses describe what Jael, that other woman, did to Sisera. And mention is also made of Sisera's mother. And obviously, Deborah and Barak were rejoicing in what Jael did and what happened to Sisera's mother. What disturbed me was this. What Jael did was really an act of deceit. It was an act of treachery. I didn't read the details, but you can read them for yourself. Probably have already done so. And it was murder, what she did. All things that are condemned in the Bible. Now we often come across this. We often come across this in the Old Testament. things that are obviously condemned in the Bible, and yet they occurred. They occurred. And Deborah, verse 24, she was rejoicing in what Jael did. And I wondered about that. I wondered about that. How do we explain it? Well, one of the things I thought was significant was this, that the Lord was not actually mentioned in this part of the song. The Lord was not mentioned in this part of the song. What Deborah said in verse 24 was this. She did not say, "Blessed be the Lord for what Jael did." But she said this, "Blessed be Jael for what she has done." Now I thought that was interesting. And perhaps the only way that I could understand this and satisfy myself with this was purely on a human level. Purely on a human level. So great had been the persecution of her people at the hand of Sisera that Deborah felt that this was a justifiable end to that man. You know, it was obvious that the Lord was over all. It was obvious that the Lord was in control. But from a human level, Deborah was rejoicing in what had happened. Sisera was destroyed and her people were liberated. You know, the Bible teaches that God's purposes will always be fulfilled. And strangely to us, perhaps, God uses things, which we might find rather strange, but things are used, and these things bring about the purposes of God. Deborah did say, "The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." He knew what the end of Sisera would be. But I don't think that that justifies the method that Jael used. Now, you might disagree with that, but that is my feeling. Deborah's song closes with a plea. A plea to love the Lord. The last verse. "Those who love the Lord will be like the sun when it riseth in its strength." When a leader loves the Lord and obeys the Lord as Deborah did and as Barak did, there is the dawning of a new day for their people. And for the people of Israel, as a result of the great work of Deborah being used of the Lord, there was a dawning of a new day once again. And the chapter closes with these words, "And the land had rest for 40 years. I thought I would conclude by mentioning some woman of faith and courage, more up to date, and all of us, I think, will appreciate this. I thought of a woman called Mary Schlesser, and I thought of that woman because she was born in Aberdeen. She was born in Aberdeen in 1848. She went as a missionary to Calabar, that's a region in Nigeria. And that region apparently at the time was known as the white man's grave. Hardly any white people survived in Calabar, but she went. She felt it was the Lord's calling for her to go. And she spent her time spreading the gospel among savages, and more particularly by rescuing children from some of the evil practices that were carried out at that particular time. She was a woman of faith and courage. A woman of faith and courage. I thought about somebody else, Gladys Aylward. She's called the little woman. She was a small woman. She went to China, unsupported by any mission, and she established in China an orphanage for children. When the Japanese overran China in the 1930s, she led 100 children over hundreds of miles of mountainous area, and she led them all into safety, depending entirely on the Lord. And an amazing number of miraculous things happened during that long journey. She was a woman of faith and courage who depended entirely on the Lord. Another woman, Corrie ten Boom. She, along with her Christian family, sheltered Jews during the Second World War. And they did that for a number of years until somebody reported them. And she actually, with her family, finished up in a concentration camp in Germany or Poland. She actually survived the camp, but the rest of her family did not. She was a woman of faith and courage. And I thought that on the mission field today, we have some woman of faith, courage, but of Eva Lark and Emily Roundtree, spent their whole life, 50 years in Africa at least, and through very, very difficult times. Extremely difficult times when there had been tribal warfare, and they have stayed there all that time and are still there. They must be over 80, I think, now, and they're still there today. Woman of faith and courage. The lesson from Deborah is simply this: the great value of woman of faith and courage. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy word, and we thank thee again for so many in thy word who have left us examples that we might follow their steps. And we have considered this woman, not mentioned very often in thy word, and yet a great woman of courage and faith. And we thank thee, our Father, for so many, down through the centuries, women in particular, who have displayed faith and courage in thee and done a great service for thyself. And we pray for those, even at the present time, who are on the mission field doing thy great work. We thank thee for them, and we just pray for them at this present moment. We thank thee for the time we spent here with thy people. And we ask a blessing upon each one and a blessing upon thy word as we once again give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.